Ladies and gentlemen, we welcome to the show a living blues legend. His career has spanned over six decades. His music has touched hearts and minds around the world. He is the embodiment of Chicago-style blues. Eddie, the Chief Clearwater, welcome to Confessing the Blues.
Well, hello. Thank you so much. Thanks, Cleve. Thanks for inviting me on.
Well, how have you been, my man?
Really good. Been having a good time, just enjoying what I'm doing, and hoping to continue. It feels good, and I just look forward to doing one show after another. I like performing for people, so I'm having a good time.
Well, Eddie, you started playing guitar at the tender age of 13, and your uncle, Reverend Houston H. Harrington, introduced you to an acoustic guitar that you learned to play upside down because you're a lefty. Early on, he was a huge influence on your career well beyond that church in Birmingham, Alabama. He was the one that got you to the Windy City and your first electric guitar.
That is correct. That is very correct. Yeah, absolutely. And I am so appreciative for it. I'm thankful every day of my life. Yeah, he set me on the right track, and I've tried to stay on it ever since.
That bus ticket was only $15 back then.
$15.
How about that? On a Greyhound from Birmingham to Chicago.
Chicago, yeah. I got here at 12 o'clock at night, September of 1950.
Well, your Uncle Houston, he took you to a lot of the area blues clubs there, didn't he?
Oh, yes, he did. He took me to see Muddy Waters, Elmo James, and Little Walter. Little Walter was playing with Muddy at the time. So I got to meet Muddy, I got to meet Little Walter, and a host of others. The Howlin' Wolf. So I was in all of my glory. He showed me where the clubs were, and after that, I was on my own. So, yeah, going listening to the blues.
Well, I understand that Chuck Berry set you ablaze when you first heard his music. I read that Chuck's Old Baby Doll changed your life.
That is correct. I heard that song on WGES radio, and I thought it sounded so fantastic. I didn't know who he was before this jockey announced it. He got done playing the record. He said, "That's Chuck Berry." I said, "Chuck Berry? I never heard him before. That is really terrific." So I went and got one of his albums, and I discovered Maybelline on this. then Johnny Be Good, and that was it. I was totally convinced. Yeah. So I'm a big fan of Chuck, very big fan.
Well, tell us about Guitar Eddie and the Cutaways in the rich blues community in Chicago in the 60s and 70s. Magic Sam and Freddie King, they were bringing a new sound and temper to the blues world.
Oh, yes. I got to meet Magic Sam. We became very the best of friends. We became very, very close friends. And he was such a unique person. He had a wonderful personality, easygoing, always had kind words for people, and always liked to crack jokes when he's around his friends. And then he would get on stage and blow you away with that guitar. Yeah, and then Freddie King, he was just a master. Talk about when he hit the stage, it was pure fire.
The Texas sensation.
Oh, yeah, Eddie King. Yeah, I knew him a long time, yeah. Eddie King is a good player, very good player.
Well, tell us about Guitar Eddie and the Cutaways.
Well, that was a name that I used for a short while. I got the name Cutaways because I had a Gibson guitar with the Cutaways in the neck, you know.
Right.
So that's why I got that name from, Eddie and the Cutaways. But I never recorded under that name. I never made any records. Guitar Eddie.
Well, you're known as the Big Chief. What inspired you to start wearing a Native American headdress on the stage?
It was just an idea that I had in my head. I went to a party one night after I got off from a gig. The bartender, Pat Sweet, she invited myself and my band over to her house for a late night party. So when I walked in, she had this headdress hanging on the wall in the den of her house. So I said to her, I said, "That's a beautiful piece." And she said, "Thank you. And, it belonged to my deceased husband." And after that, I started expressing the interest. I asked if she would sell it to me because I wanted to wear it for my stage appearance. So she said, "No, I really can't sell it to you because it would belong to my deceased husband." So from time to time after that, I kept expressing interest in it. And she said, "I tell you what, I won't sell it to you, but I'll give it to you as a good luck charm, providing you never part with it. So we shook hands on it. So I've been wearing it ever since, you know, from show to show. I still have that original one that I got from her. I gave her my word that I would never part with it. So that's how it came around. That was in the 76, I think so. 76.
Well, Annie, you've worked with some of the biggest names in the blues world, and your collaboration with Ronnie Baker Brooks appears to have brought the very best out of both of you. How did that friendship come about?
I always liked Ronnie because I knew him when he was a little boy, him and his brother Wayne. I knew him when they were like 5 or 6 years old because I knew their dad, Lonnie Brooks. And he grew up to be a fine young man, and he grew up to be a heck of a guitar player and writer and arranger and the whole bit. He was having a record party for himself, for his album. So he invited me to his record party, so I went. And at the end of the night, I walked up to him. I said, I asked him a question. How would you like to produce my next album? He said, you got to be kidding me. I said, no, I'm not kidding you. He said, are you sure? I said, yeah, I'm sure. I like his work a lot. So he said, well, I've never produced anything except stuff with my father, you know. I said, well, I'd like you to be my producer. So I invited him over to my house for a rehearsal. I had some songs I wanted him to hear. So he said, I'll be over at your house 12 o'clock tomorrow. So he showed up at my house with his Pro Tools and all of his recording stuff. And he hooked it up in my basement. And he said, okay, I'm ready to start. Let me hear your first song, you know. We rehearsed everything in the basement. That's how we produced with Side Strut. That was the beginning of it. I was very proud of the work that he did. It was fantastic.
A great record, I might add.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, we had fun making it. A lot of fun.
By my count, you have at least 17 albums to your credit, many releases on several different labels. What are the difficulties of working with a record label? I'm sure that you've discovered some pitfalls along the way.
Oh, yeah, there can be some downfalls, ups and downs, but you have to really be consistent and just work it to the best of your ability and try and stay on the positive. That's the main thing, stay positive, because there's going to be some pitfalls here and there. But you have to be very consistent and very determined.
Well, your latest release is aptly titled, I might say. The record is sure enough so funky, I'm telling you.
Yeah, well, thank you. Well, I was doing my birthday party at Space in Evanston. So my wife said, you know, a lot of your fans have been asking me about a live album, asking if you had a live album. She said, why don't you consider doing a live album? I said, wait a minute, this would be a good time to do it. I'll be at Space in January. So I got the band together and talked about it and called up the sound engineers and the whole bit, and they agreed to come in and record me. So that's how I put it together. It was my wife's idea. I said, well, let's do it now. Here's the opportunity right there. This was like a couple months before January, so we had talked about it. It was fun. We had a good night. Ronnie Baker came in and sat in on it, and a Billy Branch, and we just had a good time doing it.
Well, you've got another big birthday bash coming up at Space January 10th of 2016.
Oh, yeah, right. We're back at Space, 2016, yeah. On a Sunday night this time, yeah. It's rolling around again.
Well, Eddie, you were born in and around Macon, Mississippi, and have been honored with a marker on the Mississippi Blues Trail. That had to have been a proud moment for you, and it's quite an honor.
It was I felt very honored because it's relating back to when I was a little boy running around in the cornfields and the cotton fields. And here I go back, and here's the governor, here's the mayor of the city there, and the principal of the school, and they're all there. And I'm being honest. I said, is this real? Am I dreaming this? You know. So it was quite honorable. Yes, I appreciate it a lot.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Grammy Award nominee, Blues Foundation Award winner, and living blues legend, Eddie the Chief Clearwater. His latest album is For Real Soul Funky. You can find it online at Amazon, CD Baby, and the Eddie Clearwater website. Be sure to check back often and find an Eddie Clearwater show near you. Eddie the Chief Clearwater, thank you so much for being with us on Confessing the Blues.
Thank you so much, Cleve. Thank you so much. And keep on doing what you're doing because you're doing it right.